I bet he sat right down here and ate, and started planning how he'd kill his father. Plenty of time. Time to start putting what he wanted together, hunting up their passcodes, checking out the bank accounts. Plenty of time. He never panicked, Eve continued. He never tried to clean anything up, hide anything. It's like he came of age here in the kitchen over his mother's bloody corpse. Well, God! He's got the ambition and the brains to go after the money, after what he recognizes or considers valuables. To take the time for planning that before and after he kills his father. To do that, he gets his old bat, that memento. Maybe his old man pitched him a few back in the day, criticized his form. He doesn't take the bat with him. It didn't matter to him. He buys a new one for his toolkit. Leaving childish things behind. Huh? I just thought, you said he came of age, so he left the bat he'd used as a kid and bought a new one. They probably bought him the first bat, the murder weapon. He buys one now for himself. That's good. Eve nodded. That's how he thinks. Still, a little fear of the father. He hides, lies in wait, takes him by surprise. Ambush rather than confront. Then he leaves them both there, where they fell, leaves them swimming in their own blood, and eats and sleeps and plans. It's like a kid again. A teenager, maybe, tossing his stuff on the floor, stepping over it rather than picking it up, putting it away. Nobody here to tell him to clean up his space. It's deliberate. What part? Staying here until Saturday night, leaving them on the floor, dishes scattered around the kitchen. She kept a tidy home, raised him to pick up his space, nagged at him about it. Now fuck her, he'll make as much mess as he wants. No mess in the living area or their bedroom. He's not interested in those spaces. It's all about the little office area, the kitchen, his room, the bathroom. He hates how old it feels in here. All his mother's fancy touches, the old stuff she and his father hang on to, set around or tuck away. The traditions irritate him. He wants new, like the new bat, the new suit. He wants some shine. She took a turn around again. He'll look for a status place. He wants the opposite of this, the opposite of settled, homey, traditional. That's what he's after now. A newer building, or something recently rehabbed. Modern, I think. Slick and sleek. Everything he's never had because he doesn't see what he had here. He's not grateful for growing up in a home where people cared about making it nice, keeping it nice, where they valued family heirlooms and traditions. He hates all of it. Let's take it apart, then follow his trail. The silver and glass tower rising above the Hudson River boasted its own bank, a two-level state-of-the-art fitness center with pool, a five-star spa, a select group of high-end boutiques, 24-hour concierge service, two exclusive restaurants, three bars, and for an additional fee, a daily, weekly, or monthly cleaning service. The apartment on the 18th floor was, for him, a wet dream. Floor-to-ceiling windows comprised the river-facing wall. A touch of a button or voice command opened them to the terrace. The generous living space, humongo built-in wall screen, floors of cool silver, walls of pale gold, spilled into a dining area already furnished with a floating freeform chrome table and glossy black chairs. The kitchen beyond, all hard silver, strong gold, rippled glass, held every modern feature he could imagine, and plenty he hadn't. He listened with half an ear as the realtor buzzed at him about square footage, location, amenities, soundproofing, full voice command, private elevator, blah, blah, blah. He nodded, trying for knowledgeable and sophisticated as he circled around to the master suite. He all but felt tears rush to his eyes. Like the dining room, like the living area, with its gel platform sofa, chrome tables, gold scoop chairs, it was already furnished. She fussed with a remote that had the black headboard glowing, the privacy screens on that wall of glass sliding up, then down, the glass opening to the terrace. He struggled to maintain his composure, glancing at the bathroom. Big sunken jet tub. Clear glass multi-jet shower. Drying tube, flash tan tube, another screen, a small gas fireplace, an attached dressing area complete with wardrobe comp. The second bedroom, described by the yammering realtor as the perfect home office for a bachelor, also had its own bath. Smaller than the master's, but no less swank. He poked around, opening closets, wandering out to the terrace, giving her short answers or no comments. It was, in his mind, already his. Everything he wanted, everything he deserved. He wanted her out of it so he could flop down on the couch and kick his feet, wave his fists in the air in triumph. "It's prime real estate," she continued. Talk, talk, talk. "The complex has only been open for 6 months and is already at 93%. The previous tenant hadn't fully moved in, was still furnishing, as you can see, when business required him to move to Paris. This unit has only just become available, and I expect it to be snapped up by next week, and only that long due to the holiday." "It might do," Reinhold tried for weariness. "I really don't have much time to spend on hunting." She gave him an easy, professional smile. A short, solid woman in a purple suit and sensible shoes. "You said you'd just come back to New York from Europe yourself." He merely nodded. He wandered back, frowned at the kitchen. Opened a few doors, drawers. "It's a bit small for the entertaining I do, but it's here. The caterer on site is one of the best in the city. Of course, you'd hardly expect less from a Rourke property." He glanced at her. "Rourke?" He felt the thrill spear through him, couldn't suppress the smile. "Rourke owns the property?" "Yes. So you can be assured the security, the staffing, all the amenities are top of the scale." "I'm sure." "His wife is a police officer, isn't she?" "That's right. Have you seen the IKOV agenda? It's based on one of her cases. Fabulous vid, just fabulous." "I've heard of it. I don't have much time for vids." He dismissed it as if such things were too frivolous for his notice. Inside, he reveled. The cop trying to find him was married to the man who'd built his new headquarters. It couldn't be more perfect. "What about the furnishings?" "As I said, the previous tenant had to leave for Europe and quickly. He'll make arrangements to have the furniture taken out or is willing to sell any and all."
"I see."
"It would save time, and time is money." He glanced at his spiffy new wrist unit as if verifying. "I'll take it, and the furniture."
You don't want to see the other properties?"
"Time, money, and this suits well enough. What does he want for the furniture?"
"All of it?"
"As I said." He gave her a hurry-it-up finger wiggle. "I don't waste time."
"Just give me a moment to check. Building management will need first and last month's rent, as well as the security deposit on signing."
"Understood. I'll have my girl wire it today. I'll move in this evening."
I prefer not to spend another night in a hotel," he said, rolling right over her. I don't have much with me. I'll make arrangements to have the rest of my things sent once I'm settled. Make it happen. So saying, he wandered off again, leaving her scrambling. Eve followed Reinhold's footprints to banks, hotel, shops, pawnbrokers. She talked to clerks, reviewed security disks, studying him, watching him revel in his newfound life, his murderous freedom. She'd found more photos, tucked away, and, as Peabody had suggested, school reports. Average at best. They'd unearthed an old vid of him from childhood, labeled Jerry, Talent Show, Grade 5. He'd competed with the song and had carried it fairly well. Well enough to place third. The vid had clearly shown his anger, his sulkiness when accepting his little trophy. Another vid memorialized his Little League team's bid for the championship. They lost, and Reinhold struck out on his last at-bat. Other vids showed family vacations. Reinhold belly-flopping into a pool, swimming choppily. Not the athletic type, Eve judged. Holidays, birthdays, high school graduation. On foot now, Eve and Peabody walked between pawn shops, and Eve stopped outside a fancy salon. He needs a new look.
He didn't change it. We've got him on the feed from the hotel.
That doesn't mean he hasn't changed it since. She pushed her way in, badged the first tech she saw, and flashed Reinhold's photo. Tapping out there, they hit the next pawn shop, the next salon. And Peabody stopped, pointed.
There! He could have stopped there for hair and face stuff. He'd have passed it.
True essence? What is it?
A chain, but a pretty high-class one. Mostly above my pay grade, unless they're having a good sale. Enhancements, hair stuff, body stuff, bath stuff, Peabody elaborated. The works! The uptown one on Madison has a frosty little day spa attached. You can go in for a makeover, but then, well, if I do that, I feel like I've got to buy something. But the staff's really helpful. It's part of their rep. Solid and personal customer service.
Let's see if they gave any of that to Reinhold. Eve didn't understand places like this. The walls, all artily lit, the kiosks, the lower level area, were all loaded with products created to enhance you, change you, transform you, or improve you. Skin, hair, face, eyes, lips, ass. There was even a whole section dedicated to throats and boobs, though they called it décolletage. But she had to admit, the trim, stylish, and perfectly groomed staff didn't swarm as they did in some places. They were approached by one woman in classic New York black. The tall blonde with killer looks looked pretty normal to Eve's eye. No spikes, visible piercings or tats, no explosion of odd-colored hair.
Welcome to True Essence. Can I help you with anything this afternoon?
Yeah. Have you seen this man? Eve took out the photo, and since the blonde didn't seem to be an asshole, palmed her badge discreetly.
Oh, that's the man who killed his parents.
Instantly, her voice went to stage whisper.
I saw him on the media reports. You're looking for him?
That's right.
I haven't seen him, but I had the last 2 days off. Would you like to talk to the manager? I can call her out.
Appreciate it.
Sure. Give me a minute.
Oh, look at this lip dye!
No, Eve said flatly when Peabody snagged a sampler.
Popping pink! Who doesn't want to pop?
Peabody squeezed some on an applicator, tapped it on her lips.
Cut that out! You're not a girl in here. You're a cop. I'm a girl cop.
and Peabody did a quick, agile turn toward Eyecrap. Apparently, Eve noted, the managerial position required less normal. She watched the woman with plum-colored hair and silver brow studs clip her way over on high zebra-striped boots. "I'm the manager, and you're Lieutenant Dallas, Detective Peabody. We're looking for this man."
"So I saw on screen last night. Why do you think he came in here?"
"He was in this area, and he shopped in this area. We're checking other venues."
"I see. Do you know what he might have wanted? What sort of products he might have come in for? Frankly, I hardly see why a suspected murderer would shop for enhancements or body products. We're hardly a den of iniquity."
"You recognized his face?"
"I told you I saw it on the media bulletin last night."
"Put it together, sister," Eve thought, but spelled it out. "I bet a lot of other people did, too. A lot of people who might recognize him if, say, he walked into a deli for a freaking bowl of soup. So being the suspicious type, I figure he might have enough brains to change his hair color."
"Oh!"
The manager took a deep breath that projected both annoyance and concern. "We should move into hair, then. Perhaps one of our stylists can help you. That's a lovely shade on you," she said to Peabody with a much warmer smile. "You shouldn't be without it. Should I have it held for you?"
It does look mag."
"No," Eve cut them both off. "But we should spend our time here trying to track down a murderer?"
"Hair?"
"Of course." The smile faded, the eyes chilled. "This way." She wound through the kiosks, the shelves, the customers who, like Peabody, played with samples or loaded up silver baskets with products they figured would make them sexier, prettier, softer, smoother, younger. Feeling Peabody's attention wander, Eve bared her teeth. Peabody quickened her pace.
"Marcella, I'd like you to help these women."
"I'd love to."
Marcella, her short, sharp cap of raven black, edged with candy pink, beamed a welcoming smile.
"What a stellar and interesting cut," she said to Eve. "So few could pull that off. I have a wonderful product that would punch out your highlights. And I love the casual day-do," she said to Peabody. "I bet you'd look mag in hot curls for an evening bounce. The home care kit is incredibly easy to do, and you could..."
"Fascinating," Eve interrupted in a tone that said otherwise. "But we're more interested in him." She flashed the photo of Reinhold and her badge.
Oh.
Marcella shot a wide-eyed, smoked lids, heavily cold, glance at her manager.
"I don't understand."
"Do you recognize him?" Eve demanded.
"Well, yeah. I don't understand," she repeated.
"How do you recognize him?"
"From yesterday when I served him."
"I don't understand," Eve finished. "What time did you serve him?"
He came in maybe around 1:30. I'm not sure, but it was right after I got back from lunch."
"I need your surveillance discs from yesterday. Open till close." After ordering the manager, Eve turned back to Marcella. "Do you remember what you served him?"
"Tropical blonde hair color with the caramel lowlights add-on kit, drench shampoo and conditioner, color bond, the master of your own deluxe styling kit."
She rattled them off as if itemized in her head.
"He wanted other products from other sections, so I stuck with him, recommended the Sunblast Bronzer, face and body in number 4, the Soleil Quench, again, face and body, and the Lightning Blue Eye Kit by Francesco. He wanted the top of the line. I suggested he apply for the store credit service, which would give him 10% off his purchases, but he wanted to pay cash."
She bit her lip.
"I offered him the free consult. and recommended Allie do his eye change here on site for a very reasonable fee, but he blew that off. If done incorrectly, it can cause swelling or redness, but he insisted on pay and go. He signed the waiver, so if he had a problem, I don't understand why he called the police.
Don't watch much screen, Marcella? Don't keep up with current events?
I've been pretty busy. My sister and her fam's coming in for Thanksgiving, and I'm helping my mother. Why?
If you had, I think you'd recognize him from the media reports. His name is Gerald Reinhold, and he killed 3 people in the last couple days.
God!
Taking a quick step back, she slapped a hand to her heart.
Oh, my God! He was right here, and I worked with him for at least a half hour. Am I in trouble?
Why would you be?
I don't know. I sold him all those products. It was a really nice commission. I even did the comp morph to show him how he could look after using everything.
Now Eve smiled. Can you still call that up?
Yes, I can, I think. I just feel so... Can I get some water? I feel a little shaky. He seems so normal. Kind of clueless and trying to act like he knew all about it. Oh, he bought a piercing kit, too. I forgot.
Pausing just a moment, she fanned a hand in front of her face.
He bought a hole-in-one kit and a gold hoop from accessories. I forgot.
Sympathetic and impressed with her memory, Eve tried to calm her. No, you didn't, and this helps us a lot. Get your water, Marcella. Take a breath, then show us the morph.
Thanks. I feel kind of sick. Who did he kill?
His parents and his ex-girlfriend. Her exotic eyes filled.
Come on! Not really.
Really. Let's move it, Marcella.
Okay.
She scrambled away, wobbling some on her towering heels. Good call on this place, Peabody.
Jackpot.
I can't figure out why he didn't spread his purchases out. Other venues. The way he did for the clothes, the tools, the selling his loot.
Because you don't get the lure.
On a lusty sigh, Peabody turned a little circle, scanning with eyes full of reverence and desire.
If I could afford it, I'd spend hours in here. I wouldn't be able to walk out without loading up, especially if one of the servers started priming me. I couldn't resist.
Huh.
The music's all pumping, the lighting's bold, sexy energy, lots of it. All these products just saying how mad you'd look if you bought them. All these totally ice servers, male and female, telling you the same. Drop a couple thousand and walk out a whole new you, a better you.
And people buy that.
I'm buying it right now and arguing with myself. I could get the lip dye. I'm not spending anything on travel for Thanksgiving. I have enough lip dye, but I don't have this Fabo Uptown new lip dye. It costs too much. It's a personal appearance investment.
I got it. Shut up. Go push the manager on those discs, she ordered as Marcella came trotting back with the tablet.
Malachi Gold. That's his name. I remembered after I got some water. Calm down.
No, it's not his name, but that's the name he gave you?
Yes. I asked him for the morph, and that's what he said. We keep them for a week, in case the customer comes back, wants something else, or says something didn't work. She tapped her way through. See? Here he is. We have to take an as-is shot, and this is as-is.
Yeah. Eve looked into Reinhold's smug, smiling eyes. That's as-is. Show me the morph. Marcella tapped again, turned the tablet.
If used properly and to full potential, he'd come out about like this. They're not 100%, but it gives a good representation.
I bet.
Eve studied the newly blonde, blue-eyed, bronzed, and pierced Reinhold.
He bought the styling kit, but he was really vague on how he'd style the do, so I just had to go with the as-is do, new color and lights.
This is good. This is excellent. I need you to send it to me at this code, and I need a hard copy now.
Oh, sure. I can send right from the tab, but I have to look for the print. It'll take a minute.
Make it happen. You did good, Marcella.
Thanks. She smiled wanly. It's my first murderer.
Let's keep it that way.
And get me that, what was it? Pink Pop, Popped Up Pink, that lip dye. Popping Pink by La Femme? It's mag, totally, but I have to be honest. It's not really your color. Now the Blooming Poppy, or that not for me.
Eve dug for credits. How much?
$62.
You're shitting me.
Marcella's face fell into apology.
No, it's a really excellent product, honestly, and lasts all day. It's waterproof, smudge-proof, has conditioners, and fine.
Considering the cost, Eve dug out a credit card. Put it on this.
Of course. It really does well with the rose petal liner.
Don't push it, Marcella. Just the lip crap and the hard copy. And make it quick.
Marcella swiped the card on the tablet, turned it so Eve could sign.
I'll have the picture and the product right back to you. 2 minutes, she promised, and dashed,
no wobbling now, away. Taking a moment, Eve glanced around, thumbs in front pockets. No, she didn't see the lure. What she saw were countless products that, given half a chance, the terrifying Trina would smear, brush, paint, rub, and coat all over her face, hair, and body. That alone was enough to make her want to get the hell out.
Got the discs.
Peabody held them up, and she strode back to Eve.
The manager got really cooperative when it turned out he got his stuff in here. Anything we need, want, anything she can do. Total CYA.
Works for me. I've seen the morph, and Marcella's sending it to my PPC, making a hard copy.
We can have it out to the media, on screen, inside 10 minutes.
No.
Eve shook her head. He sees it, he changes again, and he'll be a lot more careful about it next time. Now we know what he looks like now. Potentially, anyway. We keep it in-house, away from the media, until circumstances call for the spread.
I have everything.
Marcella came back with the pink and black leopard print bag, offered it to Eve.
The morphs in the white envelope, the products in the small bag. I threw in some samples. You really should at least try the Blooming Poppy.
Thanks. If you remember anything else, contact me.
I will. And believe me, I'm going to watch the screen. This is scary. Like I said, I never served a murderer before.
That you know of, Eve thought as they headed out.
You bought something.
Peabody's voice was an accusatory whisper.
I turn my back for a second, and you buy something after dissing the whole idea of the store.
She huffed.
What did you buy?
Some crap called Popping Pink Lip Dye.
She slipped the envelope out, shoved the bag at a speechless Peabody.
You bought it for me?
The me ended dangerously close to a squeal.
Dallas!
If you hug me, I'm shoving that lip dye up your ass.
Peabody did a little dance in her pink cowboy boots.
I wanna. I really, really wanna. But I won't, because I won't have pink pretty lips if it's up my ass.
Keep that in mind.
That was really nice.
It was the best way to get you to stop whining.
Really nice, Peabody repeated.
Thanks.
Eve consulted the route map. You called the store, and we hit. We hit big. You get a prize.
A totally mag prize.
She riffled through the bag.
Ooh, samples!
Peabody? Peabody stopped riffling, but kept grinning.
Okay. He went blonde and blue, right? Rich man's tan, pierced ear, most likely ear with the hoop. He'd need at least a couple hours to do all that. More like, I'd say, 4 to do it right.
And a place to do it. A hotel again? Go in looking as is, leave looking new. Not a smallish hotel, then. Someone might notice, should notice. Maybe another business hotel. A big, busy hotel. Or. He spent the night with his murdered parents. Several hours with his dead ex. Maybe he picked his next victim and did his makeover there.
Creepy.
He hits that note. Not a family place for this. He wouldn't want to take on a spouse, kids. Look through for singles, and we'll start there. Start contacting them via link. Anyone who doesn't answer or seems off, we pay personal visits to. And I want to talk to Gold again, in person. How did Reinhold get his old ID? And the fact he's using it? I think it ups Gold on the hit list. Agreed. Start looking, Eve said when they reached the car. Start contacting. Start with Gold. He's at his parents'. And tell him we're coming.
All over that.
Chapter 13. While Eve drove, she used the in-dash link to send Reinhold's morph to Baxter and instruct him to distribute copies to the rest of the department. She added a media lock. As she updated the commander, checked her own incomings for anything relevant, Peabody worked her own link. And when her partner fell silent, Eve glanced over. What?
The Brooklyn grandparents. I talked to the grandmother. She says Reinhold hasn't contacted them, and it rings true.
I don't see him going that route. Not yet. So what's the problem?
It's not a problem,
Peabody began, but sighed.
The out-of-town grandparents are coming in later today, and they're going to stay with the Brooklyn ones, together. There are sibs and family members for both sides coming in or opening their homes to those who are coming. The ME's releasing the bodies tomorrow, but they're planning to wait until Saturday for a double memorial. They're all getting together for Thanksgiving. Family needs family. That's what she said.
Peabody stared down at her link.
It's sad, really sad. But it's kind of great, too.
Great?
They're all pulling together, coming together, staying together. I think Reinhold has a really good family on both sides. He never appreciated what he had, what they gave him. But now, when they're facing one of the hardest things that can happen, they appreciate each other. And it made me realize I'm going to miss seeing my family this time around. Made me wonder if I appreciate them enough.
I hear it every time you mention any one of them. Don't slap yourself over that. But since she could see Peabody was doing just that, Eve pushed the theme. You and your family are a big, sloppy pile of free agey appreciation. It's a little embarrassing. On a half laugh, Peabody's broody look shifted to sentimental smile.
Yeah, I guess it is, a little.
Satisfied with the response, Eve considered as she drove. He's not going for any family then. Not yet, anyway. Too many of them together. He wouldn't know that, but he'd see it pretty damn fast if he decided to target any of them. Friends, employment, childhood grievances, teachers, exes. That's where we look first. And eliminate anyone with kids at home for now. I don't see him dealing with kids.
Too messy, too complicated, too much trouble.
Exactly. He's gone one at a time so far, all with him having the initial advantage. We follow that pattern.
He's probably not going for gold, or not top of his list, since gold's staying at his mother's, working from there too, primarily. He's freaked about leaving her during the day while his father's at work.
He'd be on the list, but no, not top of it, Eve agreed. I want to talk to him anyway.
He's expecting us, and he said he was going to tag Dave Hildebrand. He's been staying at his parents' too.
What about the other friend? Asshole Joe.
I connected. He's at work, not worried. He thinks we're way off base. And even if Reinhold went crazy, he won't believe he might be a target. They're buds, man. Tight buds. And being tight buds, he's positive Reinhold will tag him in soon. Swears he'll tell us so we can straighten this all out.
Rat out his tight bud.
Didn't sound like he had a problem with that at all. It's why we call him Asshole Joe.
We should get him a name tag, Eve said, and started hunting for parking on Gold's block. A proud and happy new tenant of the elaborate New York West, Reinhold led himself back into Ms. Farnsworth's brownstone. He'd imagined himself living there for a few days, maybe even a week. But he'd hit the freaking jackpot. He'd spend the night in his frosty new apartment, once he tied up a few loose ends. It had all taken longer than he'd expected, so he reactivated the droid, ordered it to fix him a snack. All that paperwork, he thought, miles of it. And he could admit he'd sweated it some when they'd gone over his data with goddamn micro goggles, but he'd passed. Points for fat-ass Farnsworth. Lucky for her, he thought, while he chowed down on a Reuben and a couple kosher pickles. Now he wouldn't snip off her fingers and toes. Probably. The thing to do first was go through the place again, finish piling up what looked like it was worth taking. He'd have the droid pack it up, transport it to his new place. He'd enjoy having the droid to do his grunt work. And a man in his position needed a house droid. The New York West would expect it of him. Ms. Farnsworth sure didn't, or wouldn't, need it. He'd already emptied the safe, packed that up in one of the fat old hag's red suitcases. He wasn't sure about the color or the brand, if they really suited his new persona. But he didn't have time to worry about it. Time is money, he thought, and cracked himself up. He'd gone through her jewelry. She didn't have much of an eye there, but figured anything in cases had to be worth something, even if it was ugly. He ordered the droid to wipe the drives on the remaining electronics, then unhook the rest of the comps and equipment and haul them downstairs. A lot of E-stuff, he mused. Good thing he'd thought ahead, had the droid start liquidating. He chose what he wanted for his new home office, separated them. Take that bunch there. Reinhold picked up one of the memo cubes he'd separated into his take pile. Follow these instructions. He recited a shop name and address. Get what you can for them. You should be able to handle it in one trip this time. Get cash, just cash, he repeated. Whose property are you, asshole?
I am the property of Anton Trevor, president and CEO of Trevor Dynamics.
Don't you forget it. Get the cash, come back. No detours. We've got work to do.
While the droid took care of business, Reinhold took another tour of the house. Maybe that picture frame was real silver. Maybe that fancy bowl was worth something. She had so much crap in the house, who knew if it was junk or sell-worthy? He could probably take the bags of her clothes and get something for them, but he didn't want to touch all those old lady clothes again. Besides, he was rolling in it now. Why bother with the small shit? He had the equipment he wanted. The droid could box it up, transport it, set it up in the new place. Same with his clothes and the suitcase full of stuff he'd have the droid sell over the next couple days. Maybe he could scrape out more if he stayed a little longer. But all he could think about was getting into his new place, having the droid fix him a drink. Maybe he'd try a martini or something fancy like that. Drink it on the terrace. He'd watch screen, have the droid fix him a big-ass dinner. Now he had somebody to wait on him that wouldn't nag and bitch and try to make him feel worthless. Now he had somebody else on shit detail, and nobody to tell him to get a job, grow up, be responsible, do his work. Fuck all that. Fuck all of them. Starting, he thought, with Ms. Farnsworth. He'd considered how to do it. He liked the knife. He really enjoyed the way it felt when the blade went in, came out. But it was so damn messy, and he had nice clothes on. He should buy some protective gear for down the road. Same went for the bat. Blood and brains everywhere, and that was a rush. But he'd fuck up his clothes. Definitely buying protective gear. He could strangle her, but he kind of wanted to try something new, to expand his horizons. Wasn't that one of her favorite things to say? Expand your horizons! Yeah, he'd expand them on her, see how she liked it. He got what he wanted, sauntered into the office. She didn't look so good, or smell so good. She'd pissed herself again, which surprised him. He hadn't given her more than a couple sips of water all day, and no food. He thought she maybe looked like she'd lost a couple pounds. The Jerry Reinhold diet! He thought with a cackle that had her head snapping up. No, make that the Anton Trevor diet. New look, new digs, new name. New man. Hey there. He didn't see the dog. Didn't give Snuffy a thought. Out of sight, out of mind. But he did see she'd been trying to get free. The tape around her right hand was looser, and she'd managed to drag her hand out about halfway up. The wrist that showed beyond the cord and tape looked like raw meat. Ouch. He clucked his tongue, ticked his index finger back and forth. But that's what you get when you don't listen to the rules. Where'd you think you were going to go if you got loose? What'd you think you were going to do? I mean, clue up, Ms. Farnsworth. I'm a lot smarter than you gave me credit for. He posed, tapping thumbs to his chest. I've got all your money. I've got all your shit that's worth taking. I look iced, and you look like crap. Smiling, smiling, he stepped closer to her. And you did everything I told you to do. You're the useless one, the stupid one. And I'm the one who's going to live in a totally mag apartment. I'll probably get one in London or Paris, too, once I finish my personal business and hire out. People pay a lot of money for an experienced hitman. Governments, too. His eyes narrowed at the derision in hers. You don't think I can make the big bucks, bitch? I already did, and most of it used to be yours. With my rep, I can name my own price. I'm rich, and I'm famous, and you're sitting in your own piss. Who's the winner now? Who's the winner now? He ripped the tape off her mouth, taking dried flesh with it. She looked him hard in the eye. Her voice was little more than a croak, as dry as her skin. but she'd have her say. You're nothing. Nothing but a vicious little turd. He punched her. He hadn't intended to because, fuck, it hurt his hand. But nobody was going to talk to him like that. Nobody. You think you're better than me? You think I'm nothing? I'll show you nothing. She knew she was dead before he put the plastic bag over her head. She'd come to accept it. Still, she fought. Not to survive. Not any longer. But to cause him pain. To give him something back. She rocked in the chair, even as he twisted the opening of the bag tight. Even as he tried to wrap the tape around and around. She shoved back with what strength she had left, hoarded the small satisfaction when she felt the chair slam into him, heard him yelp and curse over the roar of blood in her head. The chair overbalanced, her weight carrying it back. Though she gulped like a fish, her body screaming for air, somewhere inside she smiled when he screamed in pain. He kicked her. Her belly exploded with agony, her chest burned, and everything began to shake. Then it quieted, and all slid away. She died with a smile deep in her heart. He kept kicking her long after she went still. He couldn't stop. She'd called him nothing. She'd hurt him. It wasn't fair. It wasn't right. So he kicked her, and he wept and raged until he'd exhausted himself. Dropping into a chair, he struggled to get his breath back. His foot throbbed like a rotted tooth where the chair, with her fat ass in it, had dropped like a boulder. And his midsection hurt, felt bruised and tender where she'd slammed the chair back against him. He should have sliced her up. Fuck the mess. He should have sliced her to pieces like he'd done with his old lady. Now he was sweaty, shaky, and he thought maybe something in his foot might be broken. He ought to burn her house down with her in it. That's what he ought to do. But he wasn't stupid, he thought, as he swiped tears away. He wasn't nothing. The longer it took them to find her fat, dead ass, the better. Besides, they'd never tie him to it. Who'd tie him to the old bitch? Some bitch who taught high school comp science? All he had to do now was walk away, and he could soak himself and his aching foot in his new jet tub. He rose, let out a whining whimper, and was forced to limp out of the room. Blinking back tears of self-pity, he hobbled downstairs where the droid stood awaiting further instructions. Take the rest of this on foot. He made another memo cube with the address, instructions. Straight there, straight to the concierge. Give her that memo and get things set up. Where's the money?
Here, sir. The droid handed him an envelope.
After a moment's consideration, Reinhold pulled out a few bills. Walk to West Broadway. That's far enough. Take a cab from there. No, leave those, he said when the droid reached for the duffel in one of the suitcases. I'll take those. I want everything set up before I get there. Then you go out, buy what you need to make me a big steak dinner and a martini.
Yes, sir. Gin or vodka?
Reinhold went blank. He hadn't known martinis came in more than one variety.
What do you think, asshole?
Vodka! And don't get cheap shit. Now get moving. Reinhold hobbled into the kitchen. He'd seen blockers in there. Hunting them up, he took two. Then out of pique, he yanked dishes, glassware out of cabinets, hurled them against the wall, used a kitchen knife to gouge at the refrigerator, the front of the dishwasher, across the counter, the cabinets, and felt better. Satisfied, he went out, retrieved his duffel, the last red suitcase, and walked out of the house. But even with the blockers and the release of breaking and destroying,
A foot troubled him. After 2 blocks, he ran a search for the closest clinic on his latest victim's handheld, limped another block before he managed to catch a cab. He should have snipped off her toes, he decided. He should have made her scream. Being dead wasn't enough, not when she'd hurt him first. He slumped in the corner of the cab and dreamed of his new place, a jet tub, a manly drink, and money to burn. Eve rang the bell by the door of the gold apartment. Within seconds, she heard locks clicking, snicking, sliding. The woman who answered was still on the shy side of 50 and wore lip dye Eve assumed Peabody would claim popped. She boasted impressive breasts and broad shoulders and gave Eve a dead-on measuring stare. You're taller than I thought. Okay, was the best Eve could offer. Could use some meat on you. Skinny girls, she said to Peabody with a quick, crooked smile. Hard to understand them.
Yes, ma'am.
Come on in. Mal's back in the den putting in a new screen. I don't allow the screen in the living room. Living rooms are for living, and living means having conversations. There was plenty of seating for just that. Chairs, sofa, cushion squares. Where most might have put that wall screen, she'd opted for shelves loaded with photos, fussy pieces, and several books. I like books, she said, noting Eve's gaze. Pricier than discs or downloads, but I like holding them, looking at them. My husband does, too. Well, he can afford it. My kids give them to me for special occasions. You go ahead and sit down. I'll get Mal, and he's got Davy with him back there. I'm going to fix you a snack. There's no need to bother with that, Mrs. Gold. Mrs. Gold merely gave Eve that dead-on stare again. I'm fixing you a snack. She walked off in navy skids.
We're getting a snack, Peabody grinned.
Eve shook her head. Mrs. Gold struck her as a woman who ran her home and her family and had enough punch left over to run most of the neighborhood. It was mildly intimidating. Mal came out with a shorter, beefier guy with a lot of brown hair. Eve recognized Dave Hildebrand from his ID shot and saw in both of them barely contained nerves. Lieutenant. Mal started to extend his hand. Obviously wondered if he should, started to pull it back. Eve solved his dilemma by taking it for a brisk shake. Mal, Mr. Hildebrand?
Dave, nice to meet you.
Immediately he flushed. I got it. I asked Dave to come over when you said you wanted to come by. We're both just... God, this is just fucking awful.
You watch your language in this house.
The booming order came from the back of the apartment and had both men wincing.
Sorry, Ma.
Like I said, I'm going to stay here until... He trailed off again. And Dave's staying with his folks, too. It just feels like we should.
The neighborhood can't talk about anything else, Dave put in.
People really liked Mr. and Mrs. R. And even if they didn't, well, geez, he corrected with a quick glance toward the kitchen.
They were good people.
Mrs. Gold came back in, carrying an enormous tray. Let me get that, Ma. Mal muscled it from her, set it on a table in front of the sofa. In addition to little plates, glasses, a big clear pitcher of some sort of deep amber liquid, the tray held tiny sandwiches, basically a bite, cookies sparkling under a dusting of what must have been sugar, and a ring of carrot sticks circling some chunky white dip with green flecks.
We could have come on back to the kitchen, Ma. Living rooms for company.
In what Eve now saw as her no-bullshit way, Mrs. Gold hefted the pitcher, poured out glasses.
This is sassafras tea, and it's good for you. It's my grandma's recipe.
My granny makes that.
Delighted, Peabody accepted a glass. Does she now?
Yes, ma'am.
After a sip, Peabody grinned like a child.
It's gotta be the same recipe or close to it. It really takes me back.
What's your name, girl?
Detective Peabody. My granny's a Norwickie.
Polish! On a wide beaming smile, Mrs. Gold pointed an approving finger. My grandma was too, a Wozniak. She died just last year, 118, went skydiving 2 weeks before she slipped off in her sleep. Can't say better than that.
No, ma'am.
Eve supposed this was living room conversation, but they didn't have time for it. We have a few follow-up questions, she began. We believe Gerald Reinhold will target someone else.
I kept thinking, I don't know, he just had some sort of breakdown. But after I heard about Lori, what he did to her.
Mal stared down at his hands. They held steady, but his voice shook.
I don't know how he could do that. I don't know how he could do what he's done.
He's a spoiled, good-for-nothing whiner and always has been. Mal rolled his eyes toward his mother.
Ma!
Actually, I'd like to hear your opinion, Mrs. Gold. After sending her son a smug look, Mrs. Gold nodded at Eve.
You show some sense. I watched him grow up, didn't I? His ma and I, and Davy's ma, too. We spent a lot of time together or handling each other's boys. My Mal's a good boy, and it's not bragging to say so. He had his time, sure, and he got slapped down for them when he needed to be.
Still happens, Mal muttered, but with a smile.
Always will. I'm your ma, birth to earth. Davy here, he's a good boy. Not that his ma and my own self didn't slap him down a time or two, and still will, she added, jabbing a finger at him.
Barb and Carl, they were good people, and they did the best they could with that boy, but he was born a whiner, and he never did grow out of it.
She plucked up a carrot stick, waved it. Somebody else's fault, always with him. Never appreciated anything they did for him, and always found fault. Maybe I could say they indulged him more than they should, but he was their only chick, and they did their best by him. Worked with him on schoolwork, even hired on tutors when he didn't do so well. Boy wanted to play ball, so Carl, and the man, bless him, wasn't much of an athlete. He spent hours throwing the ball or chasing it with Jerry. I remember when these two, Jerry and that Joe Klein, swiped candy and comic discs from down at Schumacher's. We all, Barb, Davy's ma, and Joe's and me, we all dragged these boys in there to make it right.
Worst day of my life, Mal mumbled.
Mrs. Gold's expression clearly transmitted she was fine with that. Davy and Mal here, they were shamed and sorry, and rightfully. That Joe, he was mostly shamed and sorry he got caught, but Jerry, he was mad.
He was, Dave confirmed and took a cookie. He went off on me. He said I'd screwed the whole thing up. He punched my guts out before Mal pulled him off.
Mrs. Gold's finger ticked between the two men. You never told me that.
Ma, I can't tell you everything.
Ha! Her sniff was her opinion on that. Jerry apologized to the Schumachers, sure, had no choice with his mother holding him by the ear and seeing he did. And when a rock went through Schumacher's store window one night a couple weeks later, I know Jerry's the one who threw it.
You don't know that, Ma. And we weren't there. I swore to you then, and I swear to you now, we didn't do it.
I'm not saying you did. If I thought different, you still wouldn't be sitting down easy.
Barb knew it. She didn't tell Carl, but she told me.
sitting back in the kitchen and shedding some tears over it, too. Couldn't make him say he did it, but she knew. Is Schumacher still there? 51 years, same location. Frank and Maisie. Eve noted it down. What I want from you is the names of anyone you can think of he has something against, he had trouble with, who he complained about. Going back. I don't mean just recent problems. I hope you've got a lot of time, Mrs. Gold said, and helped herself to a sandwich bite. Because that boy stacked up grudges like a kid with building blocks. I'd be one of them. He's not going to hurt you, Ma. I'd kill him first. Mal's face went fierce as he turned to Eve. I mean it. You're a good boy. Mrs. Gold patted his arm. But I think this skinny policewoman and a friend with the Polish granny can take care of Jerry. That's just what we're going to do, Eve said. We have his former employers, his co-workers, you and your families, and Joe Klein and his. Who else comes to mind? How about other ex-girlfriends? Lori was the first one he lived with, was really in a serious deal with, Mal began. There was Cindy McMahon, Dave put in. They dated pretty regular for a few months a couple years ago. Is she in the neighborhood? Eve asked. She was. She moved to East Washington just, I don't know, like in June maybe? She got a good job, Mrs. Gold added. A media job, writing news and such. She's coming home for Christmas, though. I talked to her ma. I think he'll stay local for now. There was Marlene Wislett. He never dated her, Dave objected. He wanted to. She shut him down. That's the kind of thing you mean, right? Mal asked Eve. Yeah, it is. Do you have any contact info? I can get it. She lives Upper East with some guy. She's modeling. She's really frosty, and Jerry had a thing for her. She wouldn't give him the first look and told him to screw off. They ran through a few others, right back to the sweaty days of puberty, with Mrs. Gold adding in the occasional parent, shopkeeper, older brother, younger sister. She'd been right, Eve thought. A long list. How about teachers, instructors, coaches? He was really pissed, upset, Mal corrected quickly, with Coach Boyd. He was our little league coach for 3 years. Jerry got picked off twice trying to steal bases after Coach told him not to, so Coach benched him for 3 games. Then we were in the championship game, and Coach told him to take the pitch. Their guy threw a bunch outside, and he wanted him to try to take for a walk, but Jerry swung away and struck out. We lost, and he blamed Coach. Wouldn't play after that. Shit. Sorry, Ma. I just started realizing how many people he had a hard-on for. How many people didn't do anything for it. You've got a good streak of loyalty, Mal. She handed him a cookie. That's nothing to apologize for. By the time they got to high school, the list of names hit unwieldy. Considering how to refine it, Eve took a cookie without thinking. These are amazing, Mrs. Gold preened. Family recipe. And you have to be willing to spring for real sugar and plenty. I'll give you some to take. Mr. Garber caught him cheating in global studies. He got suspended and grounded for it. Mal shrugged at Dave. Yeah, but he didn't really care. He said it was like hooky with permission. Nobody likes getting caught cheating, Eve put in, and noted the name down. Well, he was a lot more pissed, seriously pissed. Damn it, Ma, sorry. Your excuse, considering the circumstances. It was Ms. Farnsworth, computer science. Oh, yeah. Dave nodded. That burned his chaps. He flunked. Truth is, though I said I was on his side back then, she gave him like 6 chances.
even worked with them after school, but he didn't care. He hated her. And when he flunked, he got grounded again, and worse, he had to go to summer school.
We ragged on him, Mal added. We really rubbed his face in it, especially Joe. I know there were some instructors when he was in college before he crapped out, but I don't know who. I went to NYU, so we didn't see each other much during the semester. Let's add an element. He needs money, or things he can liquidate into money. Anyone you've mentioned have money to speak of, or any sort of valuable collection you know of?
Marlene's making some bucks now. She's raking it in with the modeling, and I heard the guy she's with has a pile.
Mal's face screwed up with thought.
We always figured the Schumachers had the scratch, and if he's got it against any of us, Joe likes to buy big deal stuff. He doesn't keep a lot of money because he blows it on things.
He's a show-off, always was, and he's got a mean streak.
Mrs. Gold pointed at her son before he could protest.
He does, Dave confirmed. He's tough to be friends with when you think about it.
Farnsworth, Dave added with a grin. Everybody said she was rolling.
That's right. Mrs. Gold lifted a finger. Mostly her dad's money, if I remember. He died pretty young. And her husband had some, too, and he died in a car wreck about 6-7 years back. I remember I sent her a sympathy card. She has money, or had it, anyway. She always had nice shoes. Not flashy, but quality. And she donated comp equipment to the school.
I didn't know that.